Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, good evening, good evening. It is October 29, 2019, 7 o'clock on the East Coast. A couple of days until that pagan holiday of Halloween kicks in. The only holiday where we let our kids beg strangers for food, well, candy. While the other 360-some days we tell them not to do it. Anyway, this is the Antoinette Experience. Coming to you live from southeastern North Kakilaki. I'm your host, Aunt Canary. Tonight we're going to talk about something that I was going to bring up before, but other things came up, so we're going to talk about it tonight. And before I even get started, we already have someone on the line, so I'm going to ring them in because they've been holding long enough. And then in case you want to call, the number to call is 563-999-3682. 563-999-3682. Okay, where am I? All right, so I'm going to click the button. And hello there. Welcome to the show.
Well, hello there. Thank you. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm just listening in, seeing your topic, and I thought I'd call in just to listen to see what you had to say.
Okay, you sound like you're new. What is your name?
Kathy. I do on Thursdays.
Kathy. Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
I do a show here on Thursdays, and I thought I'd just click in
okay.
To support my brother.
All right. I appreciate that. I was asking because what I do is I write the phone numbers down, and I've got a little log of the phone numbers and names, so whenever they pop up, and you know the deal. I'm not the excuse. You know what we do. Okay, you know what am I talking about. Well, I'm glad you're here. I appreciate it.
Yeah, talk about family and teamwork.
Oh, that's right. You are exactly right. And like I said, I was going to talk about this before. A couple of months ago when they had that big thing with T.I. and Killer Mike, and we're going to talk a lot about Candace Owens. Unfortunately or not, she seems to be the face of this Black Republican thing. And to me, and I'm also going to bring up something about her that a lot of people may not know about her. I'll bring that up later on. I will say this also. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm an independent. So I'm in the middle. I tend to vote for people that I think can get the job done, so I'm not one of these party people. You know, there are a lot of people that put party over everything else. I'm not like that. My thing is, if I think you can do the job, then I'll vote for you. If I don't think you can do the job, I ain't going to vote for you. And as simple as that. And right now, Republicans ain't got nothing that I would vote for them on, but, you know, that's just me. And I've got five clips that I'll play in a few minutes. First, I want to give the history of the Republican Party, but I also want to do is I've got a list of Black Republicans. And going through this list, there's some people on this list that I had no idea were Black Republicans. I knew they were Black because when I look at them, I can tell they're Black, but I had no idea they were Republicans. So that puts us in a spot, too, because, you know, what if somebody was on this list that you admired, you liked, or whatever, you didn't know what their politics were, and then you find out that they're Republican. Does that change your idea about them? Some people might say, oh, okay, I didn't know that. Because a lot of these people on this list, I had no idea. But does that matter? Sometimes it might, sometimes it might not. Because right now, we've got a issue in the country where, and I had thought about this before, would it be a good idea for Black people to have their own political party? And a lot of people seem to think that way also. Me personally, just being realistic, I don't think it would work because the same reason why we don't have a lot of Black leaders in this country. This country will not allow it. The government would not allow it, because it's proof. I mean, I'm not putting anything weird out there. That's why Martin Luther King was killed. That's why Malcolm X was killed. That's why the Black Panther Party was broken up. You know, anytime that we try to bring people, you know, our people up, you know, to do better, the government comes in and breaks it up. As a matter of fact, some of the stuff we're going to talk about tonight, the government came in and did some shady stuff, but we'll get to that in just a second. So I'm going to read you this list of notable Black folk that either were in the Republican, because a lot of these people are dead, but a lot of them are still alive. And it's a long list, but I tried to go through the list of people that when I say their names, you'll know. And there are a few on here that when I say their name, you might not know, but I'll give the history of those people. Because a lot of those from way back are important, but I'll explain. First name on the list is Edward Brooke. He was a U.S. Senator from Massachusetts, the first African-American elected by popular vote to the U.S. Senate. Tony Brown, and you might remember him. He had the TV show Tony Brown's Journal on PBS back in the day before I even was into that kind of stuff. I hope I'm saying his name. Blanche Bruce, U.S. Senator from Mississippi, first African-American to serve a full term in the U.S. Senate. Herman Cain, you all know about Herman Cain. Matter of fact, I used to work for Herman Cain because he owned Godfather's Pizza, and I worked at a Godfather's Pizza as a delivery driver. And I remember first day on the job, I was in this room by myself, and I was watching, you know, they have the videos where they tell you stuff, like a training video. He was in that video. I didn't know who he was at the time. All I know is he just put me to sleep because it was a boring job. Look, all I want to do is drive and deliver pizzas. I mean, all that other nonsense. But, yeah, anyway, Ben Carson, and you know about him. George Washington Carver, Eldridge Cleaver, Christopher Darden, I didn't know that, Stacey Dash, I am very disappointed in Stacey Dash. The reason why is back in the day, I had a mad crush on her because I thought she was normal. I thought she was the prettiest thing I ever seen in my life. I thought she had brains, but I guess the older she got, the moodier she got. Matter of fact, she got arrested not too long ago, and on her arrest form, she put down that she was a white woman. I had no idea. I thought she was Black. So I don't even know why they got on this list, because she ain't Black. She's white, according to her. I didn't know that. Frederick Douglass. Larry Elder, Rosie Grier, I didn't know that. He was an ex-football player, and his cousin is Pam Grier. Oh boy, everybody had a crush on her. Niger Ennis, Alveda King, which is the niece of Martin Luther King. Mia Love, which is a representative of Utah, and I didn't know they even had Black people in Utah, but she was there from 2013 to 2019. Candace Owens, Jesse Owens, yes, that Jesse Owens, he was a Republican. I had no idea. Here's an interesting one, P.O. Pico. I think I said that right. P.O. Pico. He was the last governor of Mexican California, formed the Republican Party in California. He was born 1801 to 1894. Colin Powell, or I knew about him. Hiram Rhodes Rebels, U.S. Senator from Mississippi, first African American to serve in the U.S. Senate. Condoleezza Rice. I don't know about her. Jackie Robinson, the first Black baseball player, But he changed his parties from, he changed from Republican to Democrat. Tim Scott, he's the South Carolina guy. And there was a funny video of him. They were at some thing at the White House, and Trump was shaking it. He was standing, I think he was in the first row or kind of close somewhere, and Trump was just going down the line, shaking people's hands, skipped right over the brother's hand. He had his hand out. When he shake his hand, he just skipped right over the brother and went to the next guy next to him. And this guy just going to stand there and cheese and grin like ain't nothing to it. A bigger man than I am, because I wouldn't want for that mess. Thomas Sowell. I hope I said his last name right. Michael Steele. Lynn Swan. Didn't know that. Former football player for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Clarence Thomas. Yeah, I know about him. Thurman Thomas. I didn't know that. He used to play for the Buffalo Bills. I had no idea. Booker T. Washington. Didn't know that. J.C. Watts. Alan West is a complete nut job. Armstrong Williams. He has his TV show. Let's see if there's a few more on here that I missed. I think that's pretty much all of them. I think that's everybody. I look like it's everybody. Yeah, that's everybody. Let me show you. Lester Holt. He does NBC News. I didn't know that. Here's a few more. Bo Jackson. Cowboy Troy. He's the guy that made that annoying country song. That was jacked up. Now, I live here in the heart of North Carolina, where they got four or five country stations on the radio. And I pass by every single one of them because I will not do country music. This guy made a country song that you would think would have been played on country stations. They would not play this song on there until he got, to do it with them. They play that song more on the urban stations than they do on the country stations. I don't like the song anyway. The song is irritating. Don King, Ernie Banks, ex-baseball player, Gale Sayers, football player, Greg Anthony, basketball player, didn't know that, Herschel Walker, I kind of figured that, Jackie Robinson, James Brown, great James Brown, didn't know that, James Earl Jones, didn't know that. Had no idea. There are a lot more in here. Gee whiz, I forgot about this part. Jimmy Walker. That Jimmy Walker from Good Times. That one. Joe Louis, didn't know that. Johnny Mathis, the singer. Joseph C. Phillips, he was the guy that played in Cosby Show. Karl Malone, didn't know that, played basketball. Kanye West, the brother got issues. The brother got some serious issues. Let's see. Here's Kenny Washington. He was the first black player to join the NFL after it lifted its 13-year ban on black players in 1946. Larry Fitzgerald, I didn't know that. He plays now for the Arizona Cardinals. Pearl Bailey, I didn't know that. Ray Lewis, I kind of figured. Robert Griffin III, didn't know that. I don't care. He played for the Washington Redskins, so yeah. Ronnie Lott, I didn't know that. Cheryl Underwood, I had no idea. Tony Dungy. I didn't know that. Wilt Chamberlain. Yaphet Kotto. He's an actor. He was in. He played in a lot of the old blaxploitation flicks, and he's. I think he's still around. Let's see if that's it. I think that's probably everybody that you would probably recognize. Yeah, I think that's all the ones that you would recognize if you hear their name. Okay. So those are the list of either were or still are black Republicans. Like I said, I've got five clips to play, and we're talking about this because lately with the Candace Owens thing, because she's been in the news for a long time, and Kanye, he's been in the news, and a few others, and recently Trump went to a college down in South Carolina, and I think 10 people showed up or something, some hot mess. I don't even, I know I'm supposed to follow the news, but I do follow them, but it's just, but with him, I don't, it just gets to the point where I just don't care, so I don't care to follow, but every now and again, I'll go back and read and see what happened. So about 10 people showed up to a black university, and I'm still waiting for somebody to tell me what this guy has done that's positive for the black community. And I'm still waiting. Nobody can seem to tell me. And I'm still waiting for, and we'll play the clip, we'll play the clip later. Well, T.I. had asked a question I had been asking for years. When was America great for everybody, not just certain people? And nobody can answer the question. So when it was brought up for Miss Candace to answer, she could not answer the question. Nobody can answer the question. You could say, and it's a stretch. There was a period after the Civil War for about 10 years that looked like it may be promising for black folk in this country, but then that pretty much went to hell pretty quick. Because then Jim Crow was brought into place, the black code there was a whole mess of stuff. So whatever greatness we had in this country went to hell pretty quick. So if that's what they're talking about, I don't know what they're talking about, because nobody can answer the question. So, the show tonight is not to pick on black Republicans or any particular black Republican. I mean, I'm not, with that. If you want to be in the Republican Party, knock yourself out. But don't say, and she's been going around, and a lot of other black, black Republicans, they go around and she was trying to come up with something that's talking about Blacksit. But she's trying to, her thing is trying to get black people out of the Democratic Party and come to the Republican Party. And my thing is, okay, if you want that to happen, how about tell us what do we get out of it? If black people in the Democratic Party jump over to your party, okay, when they get there, what are you going to do for them? That's a simple question. If you want them to jump, you gotta give them a reason to jump. And if you don't have a reason to jump because you're just sitting around there, I think deep down, I think her and I think a few other people, I think they're only doing this for the money, because it was a few years ago, and some people may not know this, but it was a few years ago that Ms. Owens ran an anti-Trump website that nobody seems to want to talk about, that kind of, for some reason, has disappeared. You might can go back and try to find it. I tried. I couldn't find it. But it seemed to have just vanished off the face of the earth. So she was anti-Trump for a couple of years. And then all of a sudden, she starts popping up on Fox Noise. She starts popping up on, you know, news programs and stuff like this, talking her stuff. But when she talks it, when she sits, you know, I have no idea what she's talking about. She just strings sentences all along, you know, just one after the other, and it's like, what the hell are you talking about? I don't even know if she knows what she's talking about. But I think, me personally, I think she's getting paid to do that. Because anytime you see anybody black doing something for or with conservatives, it's just a show. It is just, you know, I think they're using her as a prop. I also think they're using Kanye as a prop. You know, Kanye may actually believe what he believes, which is fine. But I think that with these two, I think they're using them as props. You know, when Kanye was in the White House and doing his stuff, you know, it was a photo op. It was a photo op. I don't even know what the hell half that stuff he was talking about. It was a photo op. And I think they do this for photo ops. I don't think they do this for anything significant. And then they keep talking about, you know, they bring up the same talking points. They always talk about black unemployment is low. Well, it probably is because most black people I know work in 2 and 3 jobs. So if you want to go off that, yeah, it is low. Because a lot of us are working 2 and 3 jobs just to make it. So I'm quite sure there is a low unemployment rate.
Oh, can I just chime in for a minute? Just want to chime in about the Republicans and what a lot of us black folk don't know is back, you know, when slavery, after slavery, everybody was released and everything. A lot of black folk got into the Republican Party because it was about the Reconstruction. That's what a lot of black folk don't understand. It was totally different than what we're looking at now. The party has changed totally, and it's almost like it's one party now. You know, they just have the name.
Right.
Republican, Democrat, but it's still the same bird. It's just two different wings. That's how I look at it.
Right.
But you have to understand, back in the day, they were building. I mean, it was everything was equal, and it was trying to be equality. And they had in Wilmington, they actually had a city, Wilmington, that had black Republicans that ran for office and won. And this was in eighteen, right after slavery. And they did it for about, like you said, 10 years. But then those white Democrats ran them out. They said, oh, no, we're not letting this happen, you know. But so that's what we don't understand. That's why a lot, Martin Luther King and a lot of them were Republicans, because it was a total different party, totally different.
Right. Because you could say now that today they've switched. Because back then they were a lot of black Republicans and not a lot of black Democrats. So now you switch to now they're not, you know, there are some black Republicans, but not a lot. They're mostly black Democrats because the parties have switched. And as a matter of fact.
But they don't understand. But they don't understand that it was more racial issues with the Democrats than it was ever with the Republicans back in the day.
Right. And I'm going to, in a minute, I'm going to read you something that a lot of people don't know about or don't talk about that just so happened. I was doing research on another program, and I found a clip that they're now and I'm gonna read it because I think a lot of people will come back and say, see the Republicans, you know, they'll treat you better than them. No, they won't, because I've got something I'm gonna read you that there was a time when the Republicans didn't want black people in the Republican Party, and they tried to push them out.
Right.
But see, a lot of people That's right. So I'm gonna talk about that in a minute. So, I mean, my thing is, if you're gonna tell the story, tell the whole story. Don't just pick and choose what parts you want to tell, and that's what they're doing. You know, I'm on social media a lot. Sometimes I'm on there too much, and what a lot of Republicans will say. They'll say, oh, see, the KKK was created by Democrats. Okay. All right, that may be true. That may be true, but I don't care what party they belong to. Most of them are, or all of them are white, and they're racist.
But wait a minute now. Anthony, saying that, you have to remember what happened. Reagan and Nixon put the drugs in our neighborhood. Both parties. Don't forget that now.
Those were Republicans. Right. Matter of fact, the guy that worked for Nixon, he even said it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're going to put them drugs and the black Nixon. Yeah, I mean, he said it.
Yes.
And a matter of fact, there's a couple of clips on here that we're going to talk about the Southern strategy too, because that was another tactic that they used against black folk. So we're going to get to that too. And they pretty much did the same thing. I think both of them have the actual clip of the guy who said how that Southern strategy worked. And you know, if you hadn't heard that, I'm going to play it for you, and I want you to hear it come straight out of the guy's mouth. You know, this is something that just happened overnight. This has been going on for years and
mm-hmm.
years and
years,
years and mm-hmm. years. And my thing is, if you know this, why in the hell would you want to be a Republican? I don't get it.
Or a Democrat.
Now they may have been good. They may have been good in the past, but right, I'm talking about right now. Why
mm-hmm.
would you even be associated with Klein? I don't know. So what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna play this first clip, and this is the history of the Republican Party because I want to start this off. You know, at the base, we're gonna give you the facts, and we're gonna play these other clips, and we're gonna play Candace Owens with her stuff, and then all this other stuff. So we're gonna pack this in with a lot of information, so that I'm trying to give you all points because I don't want to sound like I said I don't want to sound like I'm being mean to the Republicans, but yeah, I am to a certain extent. I am. I ain't gonna lie about it.
Be real.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm just keeping it real. Ain't that what the kids say today? Keep it real. I'm just keeping it real. So I'm gonna play this clip, and this is the history of the Republican Party, and then we're gonna get into some stuff about some black Republicans and how they feel and how they blah blah blah. Then we're gonna talk about Miss Owens and her. Whatever she's talking about. And then we're going to talk about the Southern strategy, and then we're going to talk about that little piece of history that nobody wants to talk about, that everybody's like, you know, bring it up, and it's like, what are you talking about? Well, we're going to talk about that, too. So we're going to cover the whole thing. We'll probably go past 8:30 tonight, which is fine. We'll go about 9 o'clock. Come on, make sure I'm going to make sure I get all this out to you. So, all right, so I'm going to hit this button, and I'll be right back.
Hey, Kim.
Hi, David.
So with the Republican National Convention coming up in just a couple of weeks as we're recording this, you thought it would be like a really good idea to sit down and examine the history of the Republican Party. So what's going on in the country in 1854 that leads to this party forming?
Well, there are growing discussions over slavery and
right.
whether slavery should expand to the West. Now, all throughout the 19th century, the citizens of the United States had been kind of compromising on the issue of slavery. First, they had a line between North and South, said only slave states could be below this line. Now, the Kansas-Nebraska Act overturns that compromise. The Kansas-Nebraska Act, which says that the citizens of a territory, when applying for statehood, can themselves decide whether or not that state should have slavery.
So even though Kansas and Nebraska are north of this parallel in Missouri, above which slavery couldn't exist, this new law kind of overturns that agreement?
Exactly. So a number of U.S. citizens who are anti-slavery, which means that they don't want slavery to spread into Western territories, mainly because they want those territories free for white farmers to not have to compete with wealthy slaveholders who have free labor to farm and ship their goods and sell their crops.
What about people that hate slavery and think it's immoral and want to abolish it?
Those people are called abolitionists.
Oh, that's a convenient name.
Yes, and the abolitionists, really, before the 1850s, they were kind of considered the lunatic fringe. Only those sorts of people would imagine that you would want to end slavery right now, everywhere that exists in the United States. So they don't want to just not have slavery out in the West. They want slavery to be ended where it exists already in the South.
Right.
So those who believed in abolition, those who believed in anti-slavery, went to a new party, the Republican Party.
So even within the Republican Party, abolitionism was still on the fringe of the party plank?
Yeah, I would say so. So the new Republican Party, which really comes out to an extremely strong start, they run their first candidate in 1856. He gets second place in the national election, which
not
is
bad.
Amazing. But their second candidate for president is Abraham Lincoln. And Lincoln himself is actually kind of considered a moderate, because he is anti-slavery. He's not an abolitionist.
Okay.
But nonetheless, the South perceives Lincoln to be an abolitionist, and white Southerners revolt and start the Civil War.
So because he's perceived as an abolitionist because he is a Republican, that's why South Carolina secedes?
Exactly. So the Civil War ensues. This is a four-year-long battle. 620,000 Americans die. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, the North, the United States of America, led by the Republican Party, is victorious.
So the victory of the United States in the Civil War kind of assures dominion of the Republican Party for a generation, right?
Yeah, I would say even more than that. So for the rest of the 19th century, and really into the early 20th century, the Republican Party is the stronger political party in the United States.
So from the end of the Civil War, from 1865 until about when, would you say?
I would say the Great Depression.
So it's an almost unbroken string of Republican presidencies.
Yeah, there are only three Democratic presidents in this time period. So it's 72 years of pretty much uninterrupted Republican rule. And the Republican Party is the party of anti-slavery during the Civil War. They're the party of the Emancipation Proclamation
mm-hmm.
under Lincoln. So it's during their rule that the 13th Amendment abolishing slavery is passed, the 14th Amendment, which guarantees equal citizenship to African Americans, is passed, and the 15th Amendment guaranteeing the right to vote for African Americans is passed.
So in the period immediately following the Civil War, called Reconstructions, when we see the election of some of the first African-American senators and representatives to the Congress.
Exactly. So during this time period, quite a few African-American men were elected to U.S. Congress, and many more served in appointed roles like postmaster.
Mm-hmm. So this is when we get the election of Senator Hiram Revels from Mississippi.
Exactly. So Hiram Revels was one of the first two African-American senators. So after the Civil War, the Republican Party was really kind of this party of the Gilded Age. They believed in modernizing the infrastructure of the United States. They built lots of railroads. They enacted policies that would protect American business. And it's really in this early period of the turn of the century that the Republican Party becomes associated with protections of business there.
Is that what the elephant's about?
Kind of, yes. So the elephant was popularized in an 1870 cartoon by Thomas Nast.
Oh, the same guy that gave us Santa Claus, right?
Yes. And Nast depicted the Republican Party as an elephant because it was a party of strength, right?
Mm-hmm.
A really big, consequential party.
That's so fascinating to have gone from this, like, insurgency party to this, like, to being perceived as the elephant of electoral politics in 30 years.
Yeah, it's amazing. Unfortunately, it kind of all comes crashing down with the Great Depression.
Sure.
So the pro-business policies, the lack of regulation in the 1920s, leads to the stock market crash of 1929. And it was a Republican president, Herbert Hoover, who was in the presidency at the time of the crash. And so in 1932, Democrat Franklin Roosevelt is elected president, and the following 40 years, more or less, are going to be the time of Democratic ascendancy. But in the meantime, there is one notable Republican president.
Ike for president.
So we're quoting one of Ike's campaign commercials.
Who is Ike, Kim?
And Ike was General Dwight Eisenhower, who was a World War II hero. He was so popular, he would have been elected had his...
Could have been from the Martian Party, right?
Yes.
Like any party except the Communist Party would have propelled Eisenhower to the presidency.
Yes, exactly. And you're right that one of the, you know, key themes of this time period was anti-communism. And both Republicans and Democrats had an anti-communist bent. But Eisenhower was elected in 1952, and he was really the first president to use commercial spots to get elected. He had these cute little jingles that were very memorable.
So catchy.
And he really used the medium of television well. So he's kind of the father of TV ads.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think we think of Kennedy as being the first television president. But I think we could both make the claim that it's really Eisenhower.
That is a great point. So Eisenhower is kind of a Republican moment in a much larger Democratic era.
Okay.
And this is the era when the civil rights movement happens. This is the era of the Great Society programs, which were Lyndon Johnson's programs to try to attack poverty, and New Deal programs. So this is really the birth of the welfare state. So in this time period, the Republicans begin to experience a demographic shift. So first, they had been the party that was most known for representing African Americans because they were the party of Lincoln. But during the New Deal, when most people really needed economic help, the African American constituency moved over to the Democrats. They actually had a campaign saying to African Americans, turn your picture of Abraham Lincoln to the wall.
Dang.
So that he can't see you change parties.
Mm-hmm.
But this is really the time period when the Democratic Party begins to pick up the votes of African Americans. And so over the course of the 1930s through the 1960s, as the Democratic Party begins to advocate bigger and bigger government, a larger welfare state, and more social progress, the Republicans develop a conservative response to that. And in the 1970s and 1980s, in the aftermath of the civil rights movement, many whites in the South felt that the social chaos of the civil rights movement had gone too far. And so they left the Democratic Party, which had been traditionally a party in the South, and joined the Republican Party, which was presenting a more conservative face towards social change. And so in the 1980s, this new conservative movement really came together in the person of Ronald Reagan. And Ronald Reagan brought together a number of constituencies. He brought together business interests who wanted less government regulation of business. He also brought together Christian evangelicals who wanted a more conservative social value program in government. And he also brought together anti-communists who felt that the Democratic presidents had been too soft on communism during their tenure.
So this is interesting to me because it seems to be around the era of Reagan that we start to see the beginnings of ideological polarization within the parties.
I would say that's kind of been around since the beginning, more or less. You know, the two original political parties in the United States, the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists, or the Democratic Republicans, this is the party led by Thomas Jefferson versus the party led by Alexander Hamilton. You know, they had this same idea of the sort of large central government versus the small central government. In many ways, we're still debating the same issues that Hamilton and Jefferson were debating in 1800.
So, okay, so we're seeing this conservative coalition coalesce around the election of Reagan, and his election was like a sweep, right?
Yes. Yeah, he deregulates a lot of industries.
Mm-hmm.
He defends conservative social family values like prayer in school, for example, and he takes a very hard line against communism. And George W. Bush, who was the most recent Republican president, had a fairly similar agenda, although less emphasis on anti-communism and instead an emphasis on anti-terrorism.
So we're seeing this shift over the last 150 years of party priorities for the Republicans as the country changes and as its demographics change.
And we'll find out how the story of the Republican Party continues in this election.
Okay, that was from a few years ago. So let me take this opportunity to read you this. I don't read, read you the whole thing, but I want you to check out the name of this. This was called the Lily White Movement. And what this was an anti-African-American movement within the Republican Party in the United States in the late 19th and early 20th century. The movement was a response to the political and socio-economic gains made by African-Americans following the Civil War and the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, which eliminated slavery. During Reconstruction, black leaders in Texas and around the country gained increasing influence in the Republican Party by organizing blacks as an important voting bloc via union leagues and the biracial black and tan faction of the Republicans. Conservative whites attempted to eliminate this influence and recover white voters who had defected to the Democratic Party. The term Lily White Movement was coined by Texas Republican leader Norris Wright Cunney, who used the term in an 1888 Republican convention to describe efforts by white conservatives to oust blacks from the positions of Texas party leadership and incite riots to divide the party. The term came to be used nationally to describe this outgoing movement as it further developed in the early 20th century. And this took place right after the Civil War. This is right around the time when the black codes were introduced. And this, I'm not going to read this whole article for you, but you can check it out. It's the Lily White Movement, L-I-L-Y, White Movement. And this was a concerted effort by the Republicans to kick the black folks out of their party. So, you know, it's like almost everything else in this country. Whenever black people take two steps ahead, somebody, something, government, whatever, brings them three steps back. You know, and this was, you know, municipal, we just talked about Wilmington. I did a show on Wilmington riots a few years ago where jealousy, envy, pretty much burned the entire city down because blacks were making progress. And white people lost their minds and damn near burnt the city down. Kind of like with Tulsa, kind of like with the Red Summer riots back in the day. Like every time black folks just want to get ahead and do for themselves, somebody's always got to drag them back. And, you know, like I said, I didn't know anything about that until I was researching something else. And that movement almost worked. It was the foundation for what happened later on with the Southern Strategy and all that other good stuff that we're going to get into in just a second. You know, and it's almost one of those things where Nixon and his cronies in the government, J. Edgar Hoover, you know, bought down the Black Panthers. Same thing with, you know, Reagan and them crooks introducing crack in the inner city,
mm-hmm.
and got them on tape. Got one at, what's his name, Ehrlichman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that Ehrlichman, yeah. He got him on tape saying, you know, how that went about. So we got these, I mean, like the kids the same day, we got receipts. So we got receipts on those.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not one of these things where, oh, that's not true. No. We got receipts on those claims. So now this next clip is interesting because this is a clip where they're actually talking to black Republicans, black conservatives. They are a thing. you know, I have no idea why now, at this particular time that we're talking about right now, why anybody black would be in the Republican Party. I have no idea. I don't know. I guess the only way to know is for one to call and let us know. We have another phone call. I'm going to grab it. Like I said, if we usually the show is over by 8:30, but if we go late, that's cool. We just go until whenever they cut us off. So I got no problem with that. So let's hit the button.
Hey, how you doing?
The show. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, I'm good, man.
Not much.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm fine. Are you new to the show?
I've talked to you before, but this is a while ago.
A while ago. Okay. Okay. I was trying to see if I can find your number on here, see if I can call you by your name. I don't see you. Well,
no,
anyway.
This is Naj, man.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. I got you on another page. Okay. All right. Cool. Okay. All right. I'll give you the floor. What's up?
Well, I mean, just in general with this topic, I've learned to kind of leave it alone for the most part, just because honestly, these people are beneath contempt and not too much worth talking about. A good history on it you can find online by the historian at Princeton, Kevin Cruz. He documents a lot of this stuff really well because, you know, over the past few years, there's like a massive, you know, disinformation campaign on social media where these people are trying to present themselves as if they were the party of black people when it's a really complicated situation and nowhere near the way they present it. So it's like the more conservative the party became, the more they didn't want black folks in it. And when they talk about the Democratic Party of early America, that was the conservative party at the time. See, and they don't spend any time talking about that, because once you start talking about that, you'll realize, oh, you people are actually the forefathers. Those people are actually the forefathers of your party now. So there's like the book Leah Wright Majora, The Loneliness of the Black Republican, she put out a couple of years ago, where she gets into like the idea of a Jackie Robinson type conservative black person doesn't actually exist anymore because there's no party for them. The Republican Party not only doesn't want them, they have to actively be aggressive towards black people because they need that huge swath of Southern voters that they kind of depend on to be able to go where they go as far as, you know, when it comes to elections. So when I hear these black people talk about this party in which they have no control in, couldn't put up a bill that benefits black people, because the rest of the party would be extremely upset and go against them and run them out of town. And the moment they deviate from their marching orders, we see them pushed out, a la Michael Steele, or, you know, you saw what happened to Tim Scott when he tried to make a brief step outside of the norm. You saw how quickly he was rebuked. So when you play this game with these black Republicans, the thing to ask them is, okay, you're always telling me about how this is about independence and people don't need government and anything. So why are you advocating for a party? How come you haven't created a third party of black conservatism? And you'll get nothing but murmurs and mumbling and, you know, all types of other things, but you won't be able to get to them, getting to the root of why does this party actively move against black Americans? Now, if you get a legitimate answer from them, you know what I mean? it'd be a thing to have a conversation with them. But since you can't, and their focus is solely on, oh, I can find some misdeeds or some terrible Democrats, and you're like, yeah, you can find those. I agree. You'll find a bunch of those. That has nothing to do with that party actually needing black people's vote. So we're going to be able to negotiate and be able to at least pull some things out of that party when it comes to what your vote is worth. And you go to the other party where you give your – where if black folks decide to give their vote to the Republican Party, there will be nothing to be gained for the party by accepting it, which is why their African-American outreach programs are so underfunded. Because the unsaid is they don't actually want black people. And as long as the demographics are what they are in the country as far as population-wise, they're not going to. So I don't take black Republicans seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to watch MSNBC all the time. I still do. But when they would have Michael Steele on it back in the day, you know, down at the bottom of his, you know, thing, they had Michael Steele, Republican, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so when I first saw that, I was like, oh, shit, black Republican, okay. So I accepted it, cool. So he'd be on there. This is when Obama was in office, and, you know, he'd get on there, and he would toe the Republican line, blah, 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 like what he did when he was in office 8 years. So when Trump comes in, all of a sudden his demeanor changed, and he is now – I hadn't seen him on there in a while, but now he is so anti-Trump, anti-Republican Party that it ain't even funny. And see, the thing is, when they had a brother in office, you know, he was, you know, whatever they were – you know, they tried to bring him down with everything thing they can think of. So now you get this crazy knucklehead up in there, and all of a sudden he changes. I don't even know if he even considers himself to even be an ex-Republican. Like I said, I haven't seen him in a while, but I mean, it's like all of a sudden.
Right. Well, the whole party went crazy. But honestly, that's the whole thing about it. Somebody like Michael Steele would fit in the Republican Party of 1980. Well, the Republican Party is way further to the right than that. So where somebody like Michael Steele, he's not right wing enough anymore. So he sees this party that passed him by, and he's looking like, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. You guys are overspending. Mm-hmm. You're crushing deficits. You're giving tax breaks that you know you didn't pay for that are going to lead to a recession. You're still involved in all these wars. You're still, still doing all these things that you claim were so bad. Meanwhile, you know, we're just watching an incompetent person who basically got elected on the trauma of some people seeing someone who looks like Obama be president. So, this unlettered of ignorance and bigotry, he can whip up a rally and, you know, keep these people going forward because in their mind, they needed something for their psyche. And, you know, he was that bomb for their psyche. Now, they're going to pay a lot for it within the next 4 years and 10 years. As some of these policies he's put in place start to surface for normal folk, because a lot of normal folk don't take the time to look into, you know, cause and effect when it comes to, you know, policy.
Right.
They're going to really regret this. But for right now, they're riding an emotional high. And you know, throughout American history, you can kind of see this. But, yeah, I know you got clips to play. I know you got a show to do, man, but I just wanted to say a little
But let me just chime in on that, Anthony, a little bit.
Yeah.
Let me just chime in on it.
Yeah.
As far as the Democrats are concerned, the Democrats has never done anything for black people. Let's just be even. Let's just even it out a little bit here. We look at Obama, who wrote an executive order against for the Blue Lives Matter, okay? Remember when he did the executive order, okay, giving the police officers power over black people, okay? He was a Democrat. Then you had Biden in 84, who did the crime bill that put millions of black folk in jail, men. Then you had in 94 Clinton, who did the 94 crime bill that also, so it's not just the one party. You have to understand at first the Republicans, and I'm not either for either one, but I just want people to understand that neither party has done anything for black people, and they still, even now today, they still are ignoring the black vote. They're still ignoring. They had a debate, a month ago maybe, and they said nothing about the black issues, not one thing. They had more Spanish immigrants and all that, but not one thing did they say about the black folk. Mm-hmm.
You rattled off a few things. Now let's go through those things line by line. Let's do this piece by piece.
Okay.
Now you said the Democratic Party has never done anything for black people. Parties are pretty much neutral. They move based on the voter direction and what voters steer them towards. So any gains done by the Democratic Party for black people aren't because the Democrats were being nice. It's because you had enough black people in there to twist their arms to get policy. So we go to voting rights.
Okay, what policies did they make for black people?
Hold on.
What policy?
I'm giving them to you now. Voting Rights Act.
Come on.
Fair Housing Act, the reformation of the GI Bill and Social Security. These are all Democratic policies. Not because, again,
okay,
not
these
because
are Democratic
the Democrats,
parties, but remember,
hold
at
on,
first,
hold
you
on.
Could, black folks
no,
could
no,
not
no.
even qualify for those projects. Yes, they had them,
right.
But black people could not even qualify for them. So because you have something, but black folk cannot qualify for them, what good are they?
I'm
the housing, equal
get,
housing,
I'm
it's
okay,
not even equal
I'm not,
now.
I'm not going to let you get away. I'm not going to let you get away. You laid out some things, and now give
come
me the time
now.
To refute them. Now, if I'm incorrect, you'll be able to say that, but give me the time to do it. Now,
okay,
I just told you about the Fair Housing Act, I told you about the Voters Act. Then I told you about Social Security and also the GI Bill. These are huge things. The only reason that these things were passed is because you had a huge chunk of black people who were in the party pushing to make these things happen. These things don't happen because the Democrats are being nice to black folks. These things are happening because people are active and participating within our so-called democracy. So it's not a thing of the Dems are nice and the Republicans are mean. It's a thing of this, and I'll put this simply. If you're the Republicans, what benefit do you get from putting any bill on the table for black people that is going to antagonize your supporters? You see what I'm saying? Like, we never deal with that just point blank period. The states of the South, and we're talking about 10 states where they're going to win every, you know, every 4 years, they're going to win these states if they just keep that population as it is when it comes to voting. So, I mean, we got to deal with that. Now, the second point
but they've
you
not
raised,
done
you
that.
Said,
they've not done that, though. Remember the GI Bill. Okay, let's go back to the GI Bill. We had guys that came from the service that couldn't even qualify for that. They wouldn't even give it to them. Okay, yes, they had it on paper, but that's all it was. The Social Security, they couldn't get that. Veterans benefits, they couldn't get that. Housing, they still had some parts of the city that black folk couldn't even move in. And that's
right.
even
and
that's, today.
And those are the bills
even
I was talking about were amended. Wait a minute. You can't have it both ways. You brought up those situations. I said those situations were amended, and the party that gets the credit for it because black folks were in there pushing, making it happen. Like, yeah, black folks did that. I give credit to black folks more than I do Democratic
Party. What black folks are you talking about? The black caucus?
Man,
what
we're talking
about,
We're talking about Adam Clayton Powell. We're talking about the Big Six. We're talking about the millions of young black people who were energized after the Voting Rights Act to get out and vote and make things happen locally. Like, this is what was going on during that transition. Like I said, we give way too much credit to parties as opposed to the people who are actually pushing these good policies that we like to see. And that's why you saw those laws that we just talked about change. But now if we go to the other thing, like when we saw these parties switch to who they were now, you cannot find a single bill on the Republican side that is something that benefits black people. Now, have you ever heard how Republicans talk about black people at these different things? Now, if you say the Dems at the debate didn't get into enough black issues in detail or say the bills they talked about were too small, I would agree with you. I wouldn't push back against that at all. But the other side won't have the conversation. And if you do have the conversation on the other side, oh, go ahead.
But have you seen how the Democrats have treated you? They've not said it, but they've treated you horrible. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the prison reform.
As horribly as Republicans?
Okay, wait a minute. Wait, hold on. Let's talk about the prison reform. Clinton and Biden.
Yeah.
Okay, they wanted this drug on war, the war on drugs, right? Okay, they did a bill, the 84 crime bill, okay, that put millions of black people in jail.
No. 94 crime bill. 84
no,
crime
no, no,
bill, that
it
was Reagan.
One in 84.
That was the beginning.
No, Biden did one in 84. Listen to me. Biden did one in 84. And then Clinton did one in 94. So there's two crime bills, okay, that Biden did and Clinton did that Bernie signed on. Okay, so they don't talk about it. They be about it. They show black
okay,
folks just
okay,
how they,
just to,
how
just
they
to
feel.
Correct this.
Let's talk
just
about
to
the prison
this.
Reform.
In 84. The idea of the hysteria about crack was introduced. This is during the Reagan administration. And they said we need to be tougher on crime. And they also brought out what? The trope of the welfare queen. So they did welfare reform at the same time. In 94, the period you're talking about, you were talking about a Republican-led legislature under Newt Gingrich who were pushing this so-called contract with America and pushing Bill Clinton to be what? tough on crime. We got a drug epidemic. You have to be tough on crime. Bill Clinton does the prison bill and also the welfare reform bill. Same bills. We're still talking about right-leaning bills directed by what? Mostly Republican congressional and senatorial votes. That's what we're talking about still. Now, you're trying to pin these on particular Democrats, which is strange, and I'm not a Joe Biden fan. I think he's a raggedy MF-er. So we in agreement on that.
Biden still backed it. He still backed the legislation in the 80s and the 90s.
Okay. Now, who put it forward?
Who
was putting those things forward? Which party was putting those things forward?
The Democrats. No. The Democrats.
No.
Absolutely.
No, these were Republican bills, and the Democrats chose the lesser of those Republican bills to push forward because Republicans wanted even more stringent drug offense laws, first offense laws, the three strikes idea. They were talking about that in the early 90s before it was even passed, and also welfare reform because that's something that you already know how many claps that gets at a Republican rally. So, no, the Democrats passed Republican-like versions of those bills. You see what I'm saying?
It doesn't matter. They still passed it. It doesn't, because it's all the same. You're saying the Republicans put it out there, but the Democrats backed it. So they're working hand in hand. So there's no political party better than the other. Because guess how many of them are
there?
No,
they're not working hand in hand.
No matter who.
When one party has more votes.
No matter who put it out there, the Democrats, like I said, Biden put it out there in the 80s and the 90s, the crime bill, and then he offered the state money to start enhancing it, to start doing the prison, doing the drug on war, the war on drugs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then 94 Clinton came behind him and made stiffer punishments for it. Okay, let's not look at one side and not look at the other. They're two of the same bird.
So let's do it. What was the powder to cocaine discrepancy brought in the 80s by the Reagan administration, again, because you keep trying to pull Democrats out of a hat. But
no,
do you know what the disparity
was?
Yes,
I do understand. But you have to understand they're saying they're all apart. They're working together. You cannot have one without the other. Reagan and Nixon, now don't leave out Nixon. He had a little hand in it too. Okay, it started.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they both did the drugs and they admitted to it. Okay, but then
right.
Biden and Clinton also jumped on the bandwagon, plus your Black Caucus and plus Biden. So they're all
mm-hmm.
working together. They're a tight-knit family. So when you say that one is better than the other, it's not. They both don't like Black folk. They're both racist. They both have had a huge impact on the Black community, okay, with housing. Like you said, the welfare, they took the jobs from the Black men and put the drugs in the neighborhood, and then they committed, to selling drugs, and then they put them in prison. So it was a system that was created by the Democrats and the Republicans. So let's not done anything for Black folks.
Yeah, let's
go
it this way. One party actively needs your vote. The other party actively needs you not to vote.
Okay, but the party that needs your vote right now is ignoring you. The party right now is ignoring Black folks. They have not said one thing about police brutality. They have not said one thing about prison reform. They have not said anything. What have they said about prison reform, and what have they said about police brutality? Let me see one law that you can say that the Democrats have placed on the books as of now about police brutality. Obama did an executive order that said that gave police Blue Lives Matter the okay. So what
mm-hmm.
laws do you see on the book today that the Democrats put on the books to hold off the police from whooping our butt? What laws do you see?
The biggest one you could get, which would be the disparity change under Obama, to change the disparity from 30-1 to 3-1 when it came to drugs. And also it made it somewhat retroactive, so we got a lot of people out of jail who went in for first offense and small-time drug sales drug possession. So if you want to do drugs, that would be the thing to look to. When it comes to police and Blue Lives Matter bills, I think Dem or Repub, any one of them signed that. Any one of those people signed that. I don't think there's a difference between them.
Obama wrote
I know you want to win.
I'm not trying to win. I just want to put it out there. It's not about winning. It's about clarity.
Right. So let me give clarity. Right. Facts need clarity, not open statements that don't give anybody any details. So when we talk about Blue Lives Matter, like I said, Dem or Repub, you're going to see a president vote for that because this country is almost fascist. I ain't going to say fascist, but this country is very, 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 very willing to lean to the police, and that's why you see the fraternal order of police, different union contracts that they get, and you also see people paying out hundreds of millions of dollars, and nobody blinks an eye about it. They never complain about that money. That's why. This is an American phenomenon, Repub or Dem, that's not changing. Now, again, when I made that point to you and I said, which party actively needs your vote and which party doesn't want you to vote? The point of that was, no matter how you want to swing it, any bill that you've seen over the past 40 years that benefits black people in any way was done by what? Black legislators and black constituents pushing and fighting for those things to happen. And what did you see on the other side? Pushback, trying to get rid of those bills, trying to get rid of the grant money, trying to stop those different things from happening. So, of course, we're talking about the lesser of two evils. I'm no Democrat, okay? I'm way
further
to the left.
Okay, you said one needs your vote. Okay, the other one wants your vote. Okay, the one that needs your vote.
The other one doesn't
want
you to vote.
Okay, they don't want you to vote, but the Democrats need your vote, right? They need your vote to do absolutely what for you? Because they don't have a black agenda. They don't. They only have an agenda for everybody. We don't need an agenda for everybody. We need an agenda right now because black America is at a 911. You've seen the wealth gap. We are doomed. We have to have something in writing. We need the reparations. We need a whole lot of stuff. The system needs to be torn down and rebuilt from the ground up. We have to have reparations.
We agree on a lot of things.
No. But hold on. I want you to understand and people to understand that we're at a 911 here. Seriously. This thing right here, they don't want to offer you anything. They want your vote, but they don't want to offer you anything. So why would I give you my vote if you're not going to scratch my back?
And I wouldn't push back. I wouldn't push back too hard on you on that. Everything you just said, I agree with. Me and you aren't too far apart when it comes to that. But when we look at the black radical tradition and why we're still here, as you know, some scholars have said, the people who cannot be killed, don't fall for this. It's a 911 thing. These people have tried every measure of different ways to get rid of or destroy us and have not been able to do it. So we're going to walk through this.
Okay, do you see what they're doing now?
Hold on, sister. No, just hold on. It's very important when we do this so we don't get caught in a state of paranoia and be paralyzed by what the terrorism that we're facing. The folks who walk through Jim Crow, the folks who walk through Reconstruction, we are those people, and we're going to walk through this too. So as bad as it is, don't fall for the trope of it's all going to fall apart. We're not going to be – no. They've tried many times, and we're still here. They are not going to knock us out. We're going to keep creating. We're going to keep building, and we're going to keep thinking. And you see all these energized young folks that we have now? This is a period of resurgence. We went to sleep in the 90s. This is a period of resurgence. So don't let it get too dire. You know what I'm saying?
I totally agree, but I still believe that we have to do something nationwide. I don't believe
Agreed.
Now. I believe that we can have our own political party, but I think where Martin Luther King them dropped the ball was he was the main one. But if you have across the board nationwide leaders across the board, they're not going to kill a million people. You know what I'm saying? If we're standing behind and we are as one and supporting each other and looking at them and say, hey, you tear this person down. If you kill one person that belongs in this community, we're going to tear America up. And we have to mean it. And we have to be ready to, yes, it's going to shed some blood, yes. But guess what? We shed blood for changing our situation. We're dying now and doing nothing. But we have to change our situation. Revolution. And we've never been in power without bloodshed. It's going to take some blood. Yes, we know that. But guess what? If they see that we're serious, they're going to back up. We have to come together as one and have our own political party.
I'm sorry. No, you're correct. And the periods where we see stagnation, like right now, those periods are when we're sitting around leaderless, waiting on leaders. The periods where the periods where we actually led by the masses, meaning people who are organizing in their homes, people going to the using the church as their place of sanctuary go to think about how they were going to combat some of the Jim Crow they were going
to
face.
And
those are the times
we
where we
now.
Started winning those battles. So we got to start talking about the regular folks, not leadership, regular folks who are going to steer
right.
those leaders into the right direction. So I'm with you, sister, on all of the
and
things
I
you're
do
saying.
Believe,
and when you,
I
say,
do believe.
When you say these parties are not our salvation, I am agreeing with you 100%. But until we get to that radical position where we're willing to do that and we're still playing with the within the system, then we're going to have to try and manipulate the system best we can, which we've
done
before.
And we can manipulate
well.
The system. And I think now holding your vote is the best way to manipulate the system. And what I'm saying is we vote on the local level.
And I won't
level.
Argue against it. Right.
And I believe that we have to vote as far as the city council. I believe it's going to take two or three on the city council, not just one. I think we vote,
mm-hmm.
we do the sheriff's department, the school board. I think we have to get in there where we can, and it takes more than one on those different panels. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
But I think
oh,
it's
yeah.
going to take us really actively, like you said, meeting in the church houses, meeting in the synagogues, and meeting in the libraries to get these different little entities together. Because if you, the more you have sprouting up, they're not going to know what to do with that. But if you got one, they can control that one. But if you have thousands of little groups here and there, they can't control thousands of different groups.
As
so
we
it's not
see
just
right
one
now,
leader.
Haiti and
mm-hmm.
Chile right now going on right now, where they're pushing
mm-hmm.
back and trying to overthrow corrupt governments right now.
And
look,
this is what we do
have,
now.
We have things like judge parties. People would say, okay, everybody come to the house. We're going to play cards. We're going to lay out the local judges who we're going to be voting for. We're going to talk
exactly.
about the pros and cons of each, and then we're going to pick.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? Like normal, regular stuff. And that's what we got to get to because no matter what, working class people, especially black folks, that is the majority of us. Regular, working class black folks. Not
mm-hmm.
leadership. And that Congressional Black Caucus and these other black leadership class folks, look, I feel the same way you do. I thought I was arguing with a person who was a right-wing Republican. I see I'm arguing
oh, no.
with a radical who has given up on both parties. So I said it correctly because now I see your position. Now I see, sister. Now I see. I thought you were going to come in here
no.
and tell me about the Mitch McConnell. No, you said to hell with Mitch McConnell and the Congressional Black Caucus.
And the
I get
oh,
it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I
think
it.
We have to get people that can take those seats. They're going to have our backs. And I believe that we have to swear these people in and say, hey, look, if you don't do the job, we're going to handle you. We no longer believe in policing. We police ourselves. We have veterans that can do this for us. It's things that we can do here in the local areas that we need to be doing now. So that 2024, we'll be ready to do what we need
movement.
To do.
Check
the
out the abolition movement if you get a chance. These are people who created this idea that, and Angela Davis is one of the four founding members of this. Well, they're saying, look, this idea of jail or prison already is inhumane, and the idea that we would be subject to it the most, and we're going to sign up for it, to hell with that. We're paying our tax dollars to imprison
right.
our sons and daughters, to hell with y'all.
That's right.
They actually
That's
have
right.
an app you can download on your phone that,
mm-hmm.
you know, how you use power on your phone when you're using your
mm-hmm.
phone. The power that you're using goes to money towards that app, and they use that to bail people out. If you saw the Father's Day and the Mother's
oh, wow.
Day bailouts they did last year. So,
okay.
you know, there are movements going on just like back in the day, but we tend to
uh-huh.
think that, like, during civil rights and other movements that all black people was involved. No, it was people who was woke and active, and there's a whole bunch of people who were asleep. You know what I'm saying? Some of them people hated MLK
mm-hmm.
them guts. At the time, and you know, we don't talk about that, but there's a whole lot of folks saying, y'all going to get us in trouble. Y'all stop. I don't
and those
agree
are the ones
them.
That we, that's the ones we don't need to be bothered with. Those are the ones, and the coons, we leave them on the side. They stand over there and have a good day and let the ones that are ready, motivated, and tired of what we see move forward, period.
Right.
And you're going to have people in
yeah.
the group that's going to be talking the way you were just talking. Guess what? We excuse you, have a good day, and we keep moving forward.
Right.
It's time out
right.
for all of this talk. It's time out for action now.
There you go. So
yeah.
any action that
yeah.
energizes you, that you have the ability to handle locally, everybody out there, man, just put your five in, as they say, on whatever
mm-hmm.
issue it is that concerns you. Put your five in and keep moving. Don't look
mm-hmm.
at how big
mm-hmm.
the whale is. You eat it one bite at a time. So salute
That's
to y'all
right.
for the show, man. I know I didn't talk a long time, but thank y'all for letting me on. And, man, salute to y'all,
oh.
man. This is the work
no
that
problem.
Needs to be done.
No problem. Well,
absolutely.
I'm going to tell you what. I do this show because of things that just happened right now.
Mm-hmm.
And people call me a radical. And people say that I'm, you know, Nah, you don't need to be doing that kind of, you talking about Black history. No, no, no. People say that I'm the same way. You shouldn't do that. You didn't know, but I've been doing this for 4 years. I'm going to keep doing this because
it's time.
Of stuff
yeah.
that just happened. That's why I didn't say a word, because I like shows like this. I like shows because
we need more. We need
more out here
yeah.
doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We need more of us out here doing it. And I'm sure there are people out there like us, but they're afraid because they're afraid if they say something the wrong way or somebody, you know, there's no reason.
But time
to
out for that.
We
time is out for
what?
That. It's time out for that. It's time to be real.
Yeah.
It's time to move forward, and it's time
yeah.
to let people know
yeah.
that we are tired of what we're seeing and we're not standing for it, and
yeah.
it will not be tolerated anymore.
That's right.
That's why I keep telling
right.
you, right?
And,
you take
and,
a minute.
Don't be
yeah.
intimidated by so-called great people, the MLKs, the Sojourner Truths, and all these people
oh.
we read about and all of that. Remember, there was thousands of people behind them, which is why you know
right.
those people who were in the front's name, the people who were making the lunches before they went out to a march, the people who were
mm-hmm.
organizing, getting money together to bail everybody out, the people who were
yeah.
figuring out
yeah.
ways to fight back against the Klan. Read about Gator Lake, Mississippi, where all of them had guns. And when the Klan came through, they start shooting
yeah.
at the Klan, and the Klan didn't come back no more. So, like, this idea that we, you know, that people are thinking, oh, well, if I ain't MLK or if I ain't doing this. Nah, I'm not. The stuff that you do right now when you cash out that money to your niece so she can get her stuff for homecoming. The brother you know needs a ride to go to football practice or whatever it is they do. The stuff you do within your family, paying that power
mm-hmm.
bill for a relative you know is going to be slow as hell paying you back. The things
mm-hmm.
you do, the solidarity that we're creating now, all of
yeah.
that matters, man. People just don't
yeah.
think of it in that way. But, man, I see a lot
yeah.
of Black folks sacrificing and working hard for their families. But, you know, let these folks tell it. We don't care. We're cold and unloving. I don't see it. So.
But who
you know.
Cares? They don't validate anybody. We know we built this country. We know who we are, and we know what we're about. So guess what? But
right.
we have to work
yeah.
on each other to get each other our mindset back on right track, to understand that we need to get
yeah.
back on code. It's time for Black folks to get on code
yeah.
so that we can do what we need to do,
mm-hmm.
just like they did in the 70s. I remember they said, oh, we're Black and we're proud. And we were Black and we were proud, but you got people that only want to be Black now. They don't want to even identify as being Black. You know, come on, we got to get back on track. Yeah, remember that song? I'm Black and I'm proud. Sure,
yeah.
we're proud to be Black. We still are.
Yeah.
I love me some Black folks, and I don't care what people say. When I hear people talk negative about us, I shut it down because I don't want to hear it. Because we have enough to fight with them besides fighting each other. I'm not hearing it.
Right.
If you can't be positive about your brother and your sister, then I don't need to hear your mouth. Shut it up. Seriously, and that's what I tell them. It's time out for all of that crazy talk. If you can't talk positive, then you need to step aside and let the people that's ready to work this thing work it. Until you get some balls or some courage, then you can come on with us.
Yeah. Because yeah. it's a lot easier
to see
the stuff from the outside and criticize and not even try to help. You know?
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
You know, they call us radicals.
Right.
They call us big mouths. They call us troublemakers. Yeah.
Oh,
well,
it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
Guess what? We are about change. So you can call us whatever
right.
you want because we are against the norm. We are not the norm. We are the eagles
yeah.
of the bunch. Okay? We fly above because we can handle it. We've been created for this.
Yeah.
We have been created.
Yeah.
We were born for this day right here. So why would we sit on our gift? This is a gift right here. Everybody can't do what we do. Everybody don't have this mindset that we have. Because you got Black folks that's scared to say anything. That's probably listening right now. So, oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. It's okay. We love you, too. But guess what? You got people that's ready to move forward to make some things happen because I'm tired of our babies dying for nothing. If you're going to die, you better die creating havoc on this country. You die for changing your situation. You don't just die because, oh, my God, because you got a brush in your hand. Really? Because you told an officer, I do have a weapon in the car, and he shoots you 7 times or 20 times. Are you serious? No.
Right. Yep.
It is time for it is time for change, and it's time for us to be about it. So we got to make
Indeed.
Up, get some dates and some times as far as these meetings that we need to do, that we need to be looking into for 2024. We can't do nothing right now, but that 2024, we need to be ready.
So everybody out there, if you get a chance, put into your phone the Movement for Black Lives. It's a website. You can put in your zip code, and you'll find local Black organizers and groups that are close to you. You can get with them and see if you like the program they're doing. or you can start your own. But it's a first step, and it's a really important
yes.
step just to see how
right.
many folks are out there, because a lot of times
right.
people feel like, you know, this stuff is not going on, but it actually is. And remember
different.
This, when you're doing analysis, you can never only analyze your side. You have to analyze the other side. I see
right.
a group on the other side who has a drug epidemic with opioids. They're not
that's
sure
right.
if they're going to be able to employ their youth. They got a really low birth rate. They're not really
right.
perpetuating themselves right now.
That's
they're getting
right.
older.
That's right.
The older class
that's
has
right.
the majority of the money. Their young folks are coming out of college without jobs waiting on them. They've elected a man who can barely read because they're
oh,
so
God.
Caught up in emotionalism. They don't know
yes.
that he's about to steal a whole bunch of their future when it comes to what they're going to get as far as Social Security, pensions, and everything else.
That's
so
right.
remember that. When we're doing analysis, we got to study the other side, too, and say, wait a minute. We might be dealing with some stuff. We might have taken a whole lot of punches, more than anybody else has. But, boy, they looking shaky over there. This ain't
they looking
this ain't
shady.
The imperialists
that's
of 1600s.
Right.
Boy, they over
right.
there looking bad. And when you talk about family structures,
yep.
look at the highest rate of highest growing rate of single-parent homes. It ain't us. They're on the rise. Highest level of divorce. It ain't us. They're on the rise. See, but we don't look at these indicators because we spend so much time defending ourselves about them, bringing up every critical thing about they can about the masses of us. When it's like, wait a minute, let's turn that mm-hmm. microscope around on y'all. Let's look
that's
over under y'all bed.
Yeah.
Most cars repoed in 2008. That group. Most houses
yeah.
lost in 2008. That group. Most people who are now doing two gig, man,
yeah.
who are now doing two gig economy
yeah.
jobs because they lost their corporate job, who downsized them. That group. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
See, we don't look at them
matter
enough.
Matter of fact, I did a show a couple of weeks ago on crime. All
yes,
all
you
the
did. I saw it. Yeah.
Country
are
not done by us.
White men.
They are
not yes.
done by
yep.
us.
Yep.
Violent.
That's
we're talking
right.
about violent
that
crime.
That is right.
What was it, 75%, 80% was white male violent crimes?
Yeah.
And 20%
yeah.
going to jail? Really? Please.
I read the whole
they
list.
They killing after each other like
list.
It ain't nothing.
Irony. And it's just starting now because they're going to start fighting over the turf or some of that opioid stuff because they're not going to be able to get
yeah.
the pharmaceutical grade that they're going to get now. It's going to start going to the streets
good.
More. And they're going to be fighting over
good.
That turf. The same
good.
Track
let
you lay out
good.
For somebody else, your
that's
future
right.
generations
that's
will
right.
walk in as well. So we're going to see
and
that
that's
too.
They,
but
that's
I got to go back to work. I seen that
thank
title
you.
And came outside to call y'all. Like,
oh, man. Oh, man.
I came outside to talk to y'all. Let me go ahead back, but salute to y'all.
Man.
And it was really good talking to y'all, man.
Oh, I'm glad you called. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. Thank you for calling.
Thanks.
I appreciate
good night,
it.
Y'all.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. I appreciate that.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
Oh, man. Oh, wow.
I love
I think,
it. It's so good to hear people doing something.
Yeah. It is.
I'm going to have to download that app, too.
Yeah, me
go
too.
Ahead. I'm sorry.
I have to do that. And I'm going to do a part two on this. I'm going to play the clips next week on this.
Well,
I'll save the clips.
Wow.
I'm going to do a part two on this because this. Because
I'm actually doing a show kind of similar to yours on Thursday. I didn't know that you were doing one so similar to mine.
Okay.
And I'm like, but I'm going to take it in another angle. It's going to be at a whole nother level as far as another angle. Because, you know, we all have different angles. And I just want people to understand what in the world are we really doing here? What are they really doing for us? We giving our votes away for free. And Claude Anderson say what? The kid quit, I can't think of this, quid pro quo. You know, I can never say quid pro quo. Yeah.
I can't say that. Quid pro quo.
Which is you scratch my back and I scratch yours. I know, forever, we've not had a plan. We were just giving them our vote, not accepting anything back, and we got nothing. So now we're telling them, hey, we want something, and they look at us like we crazy. No.
Yeah.
It's time for change. It's time for us to do something different. Stop doing the same stuff over and over and over. That's not worked for years. They don't like you. They hate your guts. Can't you tell that? They're killing us every day, all day, just looking at you. I mean, just walk up to you and start beating the hell out of you. Really? No.
Yeah.
What are we going to do about it, family?
Yep.
I don't mean to take over your show. Go ahead.
Oh, no. You're good. I'll just save these other clips for next week. We'll just do a part two. I have to do this every now and again because sometimes I'll pick a topic and that, you know, people are called in, and the same thing that happened tonight will happen then, that we'll get on a big discussion, which is good.
We'll
get on a big discussion, and then I'll save the clips for later because, you know, the clips are important, but not as important as it is when we talk to each other, so I'll save that for next week, so I'll do a part two on that. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But yeah, I enjoy doing shows like this because that means that I'm doing something right because there are people out there listening.
Yeah.
Sometimes people, you know, I want to call. Maybe I don't. And they call and then we talk. We have a discussion. And that's what it's all about. We have to talk, you know, what they tell us. You have a problem. The first solution to get rid of a problem is to talk about it. We've got issues in this country, and everybody knows it. Everybody knows we've got issues, and the way to solve the issues, we've got to talk about it. Right, because people are scared.
But nobody
wants
to talk
about
it. Everybody keeps blaming everything else. They blame the guns. They blame this. They blame that. And every time I see it, I said, no, America, it's all about racism, period. It's all about black and white. That's what it's all about.
Yep.
Let's face those issues and let's move forward. Because my thing right now, I think that the only thing that we can do is total separation from them. That is the only way that black folk gonna get it together and get our mindset back right and start teaching our own children, homeschooling our own children, talking about our history, talking about who we are, talking about allowing our children again to understand what it is to be black. We got to put that love about being black back in them. They don't know the struggle. They don't know what it is to be black. They've lost the love for being black because they're around so much other garbage. And I always say somethings think they're nothings and nothings think they're something, okay? So my thing is we have to get it together and come back together and love on each other first before we can love on anybody else.
Yep. What time does your show come on Thursday?
It's on 7 o'clock on Thursday. Yeah, 7 o'clock.
You know what? I'm gonna give you a call Thursday night. I'm gonna
we
return
can do
the favor.
It together. Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
We can
I am
do it
gonna
together.
Return it. I'm gonna return the phone call Thursday. It's Thursday Halloween. I am not going trick or treating, and I ain't giving out no candy. So I will be calling this
Well, I don't
Thursday
celebrate
night.
All that craziness anyway. I don't do a whole lot. I don't do the holidays. I don't do Christmas, Thanksgiving. I understand what they mean, and I'm not going to – and Thanksgiving I definitely will never. You massacred millions of folks, and you want me to celebrate it? I can't.
When I found out the true history,
I can't do it.
Yeah, well, see, you will enjoy my annual show on the truth about Thanksgiving. You will also enjoy my annual show about the truth about Christmas. Oh, my goodness. You'll enjoy those shows.
Wow. I'm going to have to check that out.
I don't celebrate
I've been looking.
Either.
I've been coming on, sometimes I work midnight, different shifts and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I don't make your show, but I listen to it afterwards. And I'm like, I'm going to have to join. Mm-hmm. And I caught the one about the FBI stats. And I'm telling you, I'm like, man, I'm using that.
Yep. Matter of fact, that's the third year doing that show, and every year I've done it, we only leading a couple of categories, so we ain't out there killing all these people. I'm telling you, you know. So I've done that for 3 years. The Thanksgiving show I've done for 3 years. That's why to me, Thursday is just a regular day for me.
Mm-hmm.
Only difference on that day is I get to see more family members, I get to eat more turkey, and I get to watch more football. Other than that, Thanksgiving Thursday don't mean jack. And Christmas, after I found that truth about that, I've got two brand new grandkids. They will be getting toys, but other than that, like the rest of it, I don't even.
My thing is, we have to understand, and I want black folks to understand that. We can bankrupt this country. We're worth $1.2 trillion. And now Christmas and tax season is getting ready to come up, and they're going to be waiting on that money. But if black folk really want to hurt America, the only two things that white folk understand is power and money. And if we would hold our money for Christmas, yes, you have children, buy them one toy. One. I'm not saying don't do it at all. If you have to do it, buy one toy per child and don't spend thousands of dollars. And I guarantee you that's going to get some attention. If we would hold our money, and some people doing tax season, they get $10,000, $8,000. Use that money to start your own business instead of you putting it right back into an old car that you're going to have to fix on within the next 2 months because you didn't pay $10,000 because they didn't jack the price up. No, it ain't no good, and it's going to last 2 months. then the rest of the year you're going to be walking on a bus. Use that money to start your own business, family. Stop being so frugal with our money. I mean, we have to be we have not being frugal, but what I'm saying is stop just spending it with you just give it to anybody. No. Use your tax money to start your own business. You talking about the Democrats and Republicans, let's talk about the black family. Let's talk about what it's going to take for us to get our legs up. Let's talk about that boot that we need to buy. Okay, let's buy our own boot. We can buy our own boot and the shoestring. With $1.2 trillion, I talked about us getting together and pooling our monies together. Like you have stylists on here, massage techs on here. You have nail technicians on here. Y'all three get together, open a shop, pay $100 a week toward the rent. If the rent is $1,000 and you got, what, 4 months, that four weeks and a month, right? That's $400. That's what? That's what, $1,200? That's your rent right there. And then everybody split up the electric bill. It's ways to do this, black folks. We don't have to flip somebody else's hamburgers for $7 an hour. We can do this. We don't need the Democrat or Republican Party. They need us. They need us. We don't have to vote for them. We can have our own political party. Start voting on these local units with the mayor's office. Start going after them city hall, city council jobs. Start going after the school board. West Winston just voted down. Teaching your children about African-American history. Are you serious? And what did black folks say about that? Absolutely nothing. The parents should have been up there at that school board shouting like it wasn't crazy. But do you think we went up there to say, hey, why are you teaching American history, but you can't teach my child African-American history? Not that they were going to tell you everything, but my thing is, black folk, get your children out of these schools and start teaching your own school. We can have homeschooling groups to get together and teach our own children. This is the only way that we're going to begin to heal from all the pain, the trauma, and the death that we've experienced for the last how many years since we've been out of slavery. But we've been through hell with this country, and people still giving up their vote for free, not even expecting, not even getting nothing back. So what, you get a little education on? So what? They get, you know how much wealth they pass down to their children from generation to generation? How much have you passed down to yours? Absolutely none. But we're still giving them our vote every single 4 years. No.
Yep.
Let's do something different. We have 4 years that we can actually concentrate on getting our own candidate. And we put it out there. You touch this candidate, we're going to tear America the hell up. You understand what I'm saying? It is time for us to put a little fear in them. We're not scared of them. It is time, and people say, well, you know, we did. No, you ain't got to think like that. Stop thinking like that, because fear keeps you from moving forward. Fear kind of paralyzes you. Well, you know, they did this to Martin Luther King. Well, guess what? This is a different type of crowd here. Martin Luther King had one. It was just him. But if we have several entities nationwide, what, they going to kill everybody? Please, practice your Second Amendment, man.
Ain't going to happen.
Practice your Second Amendment. Huh?
Yep. Yep, you got that right.
I'm just saying, we got to practice our Second Amendment, too. It's things that we can do right now, right here. Get your passport. Visit Africa sometime. I'm serious. This is stuff we need to work on. They have divided and conquered us long enough. When are we going to understand what they are doing and do better? When are we going to get our mindset right? When are we going to stop allowing people to come to us and say stuff about your brother and sister, and you jump on the bandwagon? You shut that mess down and say, no, you're not going to talk about my brother. I'm not going to go against mine for you. We're not doing that. And it's time for us to man up, grow some balls, and do what we need to do. Because right now we're scared to speak up. No, we can police ourselves. We have the veterans that have they was in war, right? They know how to do this thing. They know how to perceive danger. They know how to protect. They know how to cover. Let's get these veterans that sit down doing nothing. They want something to do. Have them patrol in our neighborhood. When we get our little cities, you get your little city, you get your little land. You can buy some land at the tax sales. You can get you some land and put you a couple houses. Build your own little communities. We got to do something, you guys. Y'all just sitting there looking crazy. Of what? Well, what are we going to do? You waiting on a leader. You waiting for them to come to bail you out. You waiting for the Republicans to bail you out. You waiting for the Democrats to bail you out. The Democrats don't like you. The Republicans hate your guts. and the Democrats were behind slavery too, if you guys didn't know that. So you are really caping for your enemy, your open enemy. And you will die, go hard on your brother for talking about the Democrats or the Republicans and talking about Obama. But I'll talk about a story tale in a minute, because Obama did absolutely nothing for the black community, nothing. And I will say that to anybody's face. When he did that executive order giving the police authority to kill you like dogs, your own did that to you. And you still caping for Democrats? Please. Please. I'm done. I can't deal with it.
Well, I am going to go eat dinner, but I'm going to do a part two of this next week, and I'm going to call you a show Thursday night. So I'm going to give you a call.
Yes. Yes.
So I will definitely call you Thursday. Yeah, yeah. I'm calling you Thursday night. So, yeah, we can. Yeah, 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 no doubt.
We're going to continue
so
this Thursday.
I'm going to. Oh,
thank
yeah, we're going to continue this. Oh, no problem. No problem. So I'm going to go eat, and this was a good show. This was a really good show, because if I had to do a part two of a show, that means that the first part. It wasn't intended to be the first part, but when I had to go to the second part, that means that the first part was good. So hopefully the second part will be as good as the first part. But we're gonna do this again next week, because I'm kind of glad it happened, and I'm gonna go ahead and go because my stomach's growling. But I didn't have anything. I've got a little list of the shows that I do. I come up with ideas and stuff. I didn't have anything planned for next week, so I got something planned for next week, which is good. Because on the 11th is Veterans Day.
Yes.
So on
wow.
That show,
yes.
So the Veterans Day is on Monday. So I'm going to be here Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be talking about how the black soldiers were treated in this country.
Yeah.
And it's bad.
Oh wow.
It is bad.
Oh, and it, yes,
oh,
it is very bad.
It is.
Yes.
It is bad.
Don't start me
so
up again.
It's going to probably kick
you.
Off. A, well, I tell you what. It'll piss people off, I hope it does. I hope it
yeah,
does.
It
because,
needs to. It
because
needs
the black soldiers
to. But
in this
you know why they do that?
It. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You
yeah.
know why.
And the only way. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to talk about it. So if it makes people mad, I hope it makes people mad. Because
yes.
people need
hopefully.
To know. People
yes.
need
hopefully
to know.
Hopefully
you'll
make
somebody
them mad enough
do,
to do
so
something.
That's right. So we're going to talk about that on the. Well, I know I'm jumping ahead. That's cool. But, yeah, we'll be back next week with part two of this. I'll play the clips because we're going to get into this, and I will be calling you Thursday night.
Yeah.
So we're going to do this.
7
oh,
o'clock.
Yeah. This was,
thank you.
Yeah, 7 o'clock. So this was a good show. So I want to thank you for calling. I want to thank
absolutely.
I said his name was Nas. I thank him for calling. This was all right. I mean, I like when we do this. So we'll be back next week talking about the same thing, and then I'm calling you Thursday. So this is good. So I like this. So yeah.
Oh, this is good.
So I'm gonna go feed my
kind of like
oh yeah, this
back.
Is good. So
thank
go,
you.
Yeah. Thank you for calling in, and I'm gonna go feed my
absolutely.
Hungry stomach because it's growling. I hope nobody heard my
have
stomach growling. But yeah. Okay, you too. Have a good one. And thank
all
you
right.
to everybody that listened. All right. See you. I'll talk to you Thursday. And we're gonna
alrighty.
Do this again next week. All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir. All right. Bye bye.
Bye-bye.